Well, this morning we have a special guest who is no stranger to our church. A few years ago when Pastor Tim was on sabbatical, Boyd came and he spoke several times and really helped us not only through that time, but helped us to be able to be off and running when we handed the baton back to Pastor Tim. And so appreciated Boyd in those times. And he really helped me out a few times when I gave him a call about some questions I had. And so really appreciate him. Boyd is with the Oregon Ministry Network. And he is the lead pastor there, and he has a heart for missions and administration, and he is, he's a guy after God's own heart, and so appreciate him. Let's give a warm Bethel welcome to Boyd Powers.
Thank you, Roger. Good morning. Is everyone over the turkey? You get enough turkey? Wow, what a time. I'm glad to be here. And Pastor Tim contacted me this summer and said, you're going to be in the area. And I'm from this area, raised in Prospect. Medford is where I learned to drive in the city. But I was driving long before that up in Prospect, but anyway, I don't need to say that. It's catching, Roger, whatever you're doing here. But it's good to be here. And I said, Tim, I'd love to be here. And it's great for Pastor Tim and Janice to be able to be with their kids and grandkids up in the Seattle area. And so praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? Everyone okay? You're awake? Okay, just checking here. Well, this morning I'm going to be sharing with you from a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 21, walk in wisdom. And after I started speaking the first service, I got to thinking about this. You know, there's no implication here that you're not. The worship team gave me a bad time in the first service, but there's no implication. But as I travel, the things I see, and I just, in the time that we live, we just need to be sure that our steps are appropriate. And this passage of Scripture recently just grabbed my attention, and I want to unpack it for you today, and my trust is that it will help you individually as followers of Christ, but also help the church collectively as a witness to this Rogue Valley area that God would use you significantly. So Ephesians chapter 5, let's jump in and see what we have here. Ephesians 5 verses 15 through 21, look carefully then how you walk. Carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything. Always and for everything. Doesn't leave much wiggle room there. To God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And may God add his blessing to his word. Don't you love God's word? The instruction that we get from it, the blessing it is to us. Ben Ryan was 5 years old at the time. I stopped to greet his parents in the lobby of the church. It was after a Sunday morning service, and he was standing there beside his dad, and so I knelt down beside him and greeted Ben Ryan. And I asked him, I said, Ben Ryan, what did you learn in children's church today? And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I learned all about the Good Samaritan. So I said, okay, Ben Ryan, I've got a test for you. I said, if you're out playing with a bunch of kids and you see someone else fall down and get hurt, what are you going to do? He paused for a moment, and with a twinkle in his eye, he looked at me and he said, I'm going to walk on by. I don't know what my face looked like. I know what his parents' face looked like. It's not the response that any one of us expected to hear. And I think we all concluded that he had clearly missed the point of the lesson that morning in Sunday school. Either that or he was just sharp enough, and he was a sharp little guy. But anyway, as I thought about that response over the years, I really believe that his response is a picture of how some believers live their lives, walking on by opportunities to emulate the life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to a watching world. Many people have fallen down and skinned their knees and are broken in different ways. Opportunities for the church to reflect the love and life of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Paul set the tone for this message, this passage, I should say, in chapter 4, even before you reach chapter 5, when he said in the first verse, he said, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." That's God's word to us. We're to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word "walk" is very significant. As you get into the Word of God, the word "walk" is a word that was used to describe our conduct, the manner of our living. And as you go through the Scriptures, Genesis 5 tells us that Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him. He missed death. He was translated into the presence of God. We're told that Noah, in chapter 6 of Genesis, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, who walked with God. God challenged Abram. He said, "Walk before me and be blameless." And then as you move into the New Testament, all the way toward the end, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, he said, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." So what we have in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is encouraging these believers, these Ephesian believers, to walk or to live in a manner that is worthy of their calling as Christ followers. To do so required that they walk in wisdom. The text of our message, or the title of our message this morning, verse 15, chapter 5. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So, you know, what does it mean to walk in wisdom? Are we talking about intelligence? Are we talking about education? What exactly, in practical terms, is Paul talking about when he says to walk in wisdom? And I believe our text really helps us understand this. And so I want to identify a couple of things out of the text and then unpack the second one a little more than the first. But two key points that we need to keep in mind. And the first one is this: walking in wisdom requires that we are alert to the times in which we live. We've got to be alert to the times in which we live. Verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Writing to that first century gathering of believers, Paul did not mince words. He looked around and saw what was going on in society, and he said, "The days are evil." And if the days were evil then, I think it only amplifies what we are seeing around us today. The days are evil. Society, as we look around, the edges are getting frayed and beginning to come unraveled. This summer, I had an opportunity to be with my youngest son-in-law, youngest daughter's husband, and their 23-year-old son, Rick. Has a production company. He was hired by Louis Vuitton and Ralph Lauren for a polo match in Los Angeles. And I was exposed to things down there that I guess I've been sheltered from. But when I say the level of morality, listening to the language, hearing them talk, brought to mind the passage out of Romans chapter 1 where Paul said, men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. That passage goes on and describes much of what we're seeing in society today. I think, would you agree with me this morning? It's there. He wrote as if he were writing today. But because the days are evil, because of the circumstances around us, Paul is stressing that those who are wise, he says, make the best use of time. Now, what is he saying here? Another paraphrase, the New Language or New Living Translation says, makes the most of every opportunity. Makes the most of every opportunity. I don't think Paul is necessarily telling us to make the most of every moment. But here is the underlying message that he is trying to say. He's telling us that we need to seize every opportunity that comes our way. In light of the days in which we live, we need to seize every opportunity that comes our way for the glory of Jesus. He's telling us to be salt. He's telling us to be light in the world in which we live. And we've got to be alert to do that. We've got to be alert. I wish I could say that I was always alert. But there are times we all falter in this area. You know, opportunities pass by quickly. It's so easy to get bogged down into petty issues or temporal concerns that can distract us from the priority of God. That can be collective as a body, or it can be individually. This summer, June, Sally and I celebrated 50 years of marriage. And as I've told people, say, what does it mean? It means I'm getting old, but it's what it means. But we got married young and had our kids young. And we celebrated 50 years, and I happened to be studying the book of Ephesians right after this, and this really hit me hard because the kids took us to a Morton Steakhouse, and there's no steaks like Morton Steakhouses. My, it was good. But as we come in, I mean, they had the place set, and there were placemats, and there was a sign there that said Boyd and Sally Power celebrating 50 years of marriage. And our server came up to the table, and I'm distracted by all that's going on. My kids are around, my grandkids, and she looked right at me and she said, so what's the key to staying married for 50 years? And I wish that I would have been alert, but I was dull. And I gave some lame comment to her. And I missed, that's what Paul's talking about. I missed the opportunity to tell her what the truth is. Every marriage goes through rough patches. I don't care. In 50 years, we've had our arguments. We've had our disagreements. But Sally and I, our relationship with the Lord and through the Lord's help and His grace, we've been able to hold together and we have a wonderful relationship. But I missed the opportunity. And friends, we've got to be alert to those opportunities to be salt and to be light as individuals, but also as a church, as a collective body. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 declares that the will of God is to bring everything together under the authority of Christ. That's what God's purpose and desire is. But I think we would all agree that Satan would love nothing more than to polarize the body of Christ. And I'm not saying that that's the case here, but we've got to be alert to the time, because if we give him opportunity, he'll stick his foot in the door and kick it open and bring about things that we don't want to happen. And as you know, thinking about the season the season that we have been in, this COVID. I was in a church recently that number of families left the church because of masks. It becomes, do I wear a mask? Are masks mandatory? Should you be vaccinated or unvaccinated? Those aren't issues that we should allow to bring division and polarize us. Those are distractions. That's the work of the enemy. And I would just say that to counter his tactics, we need to be praying and seeking the mind of Christ and being extremely careful how we walk, making the most of every opportunity. I want to make my Father proud of me, my Heavenly Father proud of me. I don't want to be a reason for distraction or division, but I want to be a reason for bringing people together and pointing them to the only hope. There's so many people today with this COVID that are living in fear. They're apprehensive. I know of families that haven't been together because they look at the things differently. So let's keep our eyes. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 states God's purpose in all of this was to use the church. Now, what's the church? It's not this building. It's you. It's me. It's us. Was to use the church to display his wisdom. That's what he wants to use us for, to display. In other words, by being careful how we walk, we can display the wisdom of God to a watching world. So that's the first thing that I see as I look at this passage out of Ephesians. We need to be alert to the times. But here's the second point that I want us to look at. And that is, walking in wisdom can only be achieved through the power of the Spirit. That's what Paul's saying here. Can only be achieved through the power of the Spirit. Therefore, verses 17 and 18, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. He's saying, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. That's what the will of the Lord is. That we are filled with the Spirit. In this passage, Paul is contrasting drunkenness with being filled with the Spirit, which reminds me of what happened on the day of Pentecost. As the Holy Spirit was outpoured, people started accusing them of being drunk. Peter stepped to the forefront, and Peter made it very clear that this wasn't the case. When he said in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, he said, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, I think we would all agree these are the last days. And God has poured out his Spirit for us to be recipients of his Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to walk in wisdom. The Spirit of God can help us to be alert to the opportunities, but there is more that Paul is wanting to say to us this morning. I would just, one of the things I would say, you know, the Bible condemns drunkenness without reservation. Paul describes it as debauchery. New Living Translation paraphrase says, because this will ruin your life. Alcohol is a depressant. It loosens people because it depresses their self-control, their wisdom, their judgment. So he's saying that's not good for us. But he's saying the Holy Spirit has an exact opposite effect. He's a stimulant. He helps us to be alert. He moves every aspect of our lives to a better and more perfect performance, enabling us to walk in wisdom. We need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God draws us to Christ. The Spirit of God is there for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But friends, the Spirit of God is not a one-time or a two-time event. What Paul, if you look at the grammar in this passage of Scripture, he said we should be constantly It's the present perfect tense, being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that is happening, the empowerment of the Spirit of God is there. Then Paul, as we look at this passage of Scripture, he points out the benefits, the values of being filled with the Spirit. One of them, and it all relates to wisdom, because the language of wisdom is energized by the Spirit. Look at verse 19. He said, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. We're talking about powerful, life-giving words that build up and don't tear down. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, our words matter. Your words matter. Words have consequences. It was just a week ago that I got a text from a friend who is battling cancer, colon cancer that has metastasized, gone to the brain, and he was in the hospital awaiting surgery to remove tumors on his brain. And he texted me, and I was right in here thinking of this and working on this, and it emphasized what I'm trying to say this morning. But he said, it's very interesting. These are his words. He said, it's very interesting tonight. I have a nurse who went through my chart and told me I likely have the worst diagnosis on the floor. How do you think that affected him? His response was, he said, I told, it was a male nurse. Never mind, I just had a thought of male. Never mind. he needed to be a little more empathetic here. But my friend said, I'm okay, God's got me. And I replied, you're right, Les. God has the final word, praying for you, friend. And he responded and thanked me, but his response included these words. He said, your words strengthened me. So words have consequences. If we want to speak the language of wisdom, we need the power of the Spirit of God flowing through our lives to give us empathy, give us a sense of what should be said. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Words matter. They can build up or they can tear down. So I just would challenge you this morning, allow the Spirit of God to use your lips to address one another in such a way that you are an encouragement. You build one another up. Is there time for a critique, a positive criticism? I've had people that have come to me and spoken to me directly in terms that I didn't want to hear, but I also knew that they loved me and they were trying to point something out in my life. And I received it. And we can receive it. But our words matter. When David, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I started thinking and looking at the scriptures in this way. And you know, when David was living under the protection of Achish, the king of Gath, because of Saul's endeavor to kill him, the king of the Philistines gathered to fight Saul, and here comes David with his 600 men, and he's going to join the Philistines. And then the leaders said, we don't want David in our midst. Be a perfect time for him to turn on us in the middle of the battle and gain favor with King Saul. And so Achish sent David and his men home, only to discover that the Amalekites had come to their home and had raided and had taken all of their family as hostages, as prisoners, and had taken all of their belongings as loot. And David was distressed in that moment. What do you do when you're facing something like this? His men, they didn't speak words of wisdom, They talked about stoning him, and that would only add to the pressure. But as I read that passage in 1 Samuel 30, in that moment, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I believe that psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, whether someone is speaking them to us or we're reading them ourselves, can be a blessing, can encourage us, can lift us up. Psalm 94, maybe this is a psalm that David encouraged himself with. Who rises up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer me. God's word. My youngest daughter, 6 years ago, had a back surgery as a result of an injury. And for 6 years, she's lived in chronic pain. And what we found out here in this last summer is the fusing that they did not work, but it actually complicated. And her spine was moving back and forth. And Charisse, during this time, time after time after time, just in text, sending words of encouragement, sending a verse of scripture, and her in turn responding to me. It's something that has buoyed her and has kept her strong. Our words matter. But there's more that I want to say here, because I think this is something that we don't hear a lot. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Congregational singing is more than a cultural component of our worship services. What Pastor Roger does on Sunday morning with this wonderful worship team on the instruments and the vocalists is something that is powerful. It's something that God uses. I believe that worship is intended as a gateway into the presence of the Lord. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I noted as I was thinking this through, spirit-inspired singing has a purging effect. It illuminates the dross in our lives, and it nurtures the faith to eliminate it. Spirit-inspired singing encourages hope in the promises of God. Spirit-inspired singing fosters a sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit. And I also believe that spirit-inspired singing imprints our souls. Have you ever been someplace and all of a sudden a chorus starts just rolling through your mind as you're thinking about a circumstance, and suddenly you're encouraged by the words that are flooding through your mind? My brother, younger brother than me, my late brother David, he passed away in 2009, 55 years of age. 4 months old, he contracted spinal meningitis and was left an invalid, mentally impaired. David loved worship music. And while he could never articulate much in terms of a sentence, it was more one or two words. You put worship music on or set him in a service like we were in this morning, and David, you would look over at him and tears would be streaming down his face. Through that music, I always said the Spirit of God is strumming the strings of his heart. While he couldn't express himself, music was powerful in his life. The language of wisdom, the language, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Words matter, and words have consequences. As you go on in this passage, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything. As I said a moment ago, there's not much wiggle room there. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to suggest to you this morning that the posture of wisdom, thanksgiving, is encouraged by the Spirit of God. It's encouraged by God's Spirit in our lives. A complaining heart and the Holy Spirit just don't seem to go together. But I'd say this, giving thanks always for all things is impossible to do unless I realize and believe that all things are working together for my good. That's the only way that that's possible. I can't give thanks for all things unless I believe that God loves me. Unless I believe that God is in control. Unless I believe that God is wiser than I am, so that those things He has allowed to come in my life are for His purposes and that I can trust Him. The Spirit of God working in our lives gives us the faith to trust Him. And out of that trust comes words of thanksgiving. Words of thanksgiving. And, you know, we just came through the Thanksgiving holiday. And I would just say that Thanksgiving needs to be more than a one-day, a year event that we celebrate. It needs to be 24/7, 365. That needs to be our posture as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have the posture of wisdom, thanksgiving. And then the final thing that I see, and this is found in verse 21, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I like to think of mutual submission as the character of wisdom. Mutual submission requires character. It requires strength. It requires the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit and walking in wisdom, I believe it will be shown, we'll demonstrate it in our lives by mutual submission to each other. Submission out of reverence for Christ. It's not anything to do with fear of man, but in practical terms, submitting to one another. I think it's thinking of others first. It's not being self-assertive. It's not being self-seeking. It's demonstrating a team, a body attitude. That is really a characteristic of the flesh. And to overcome that, we need the Spirit of God. Submitting, walking in wisdom, means that we will be submitting to one another. Often I have thought about how much strife, how much discord could be avoided if we were to do this very thing, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This brings to my mind the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, a prayer that Jesus spoke in hearing of his disciples, a prayer that I believe really could be called the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted his disciples to hear this when he prayed and said, "Oh Father, that they might be one, just as you, Father, and me, and I and you, that the world may believe that you have sent me." That you have sent me. Walking in wisdom. So what should our takeaway be? Our action plan for walking in wisdom? I just want to suggest again, just almost a summary. We need to start by being alert to the times. We need to take advantage, seize every opportunity for the glory of God. And then we need to be filled with the Spirit that will enable us to be fluent in the language of wisdom, speaking timely words, right words that God would call for. And then to carry ourselves with a posture of thanksgiving. The slide on the screen shows it. And then demonstrating the strength of character that enables us to submit to others out of reverence for Christ. Paul's words of encouragement to us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as I just bring this to a close. But I think we would all agree that we live among broken and hurting people. They're looking for answers. And they don't need to have confusion coming from the body of Christ. Friday, I spent 4 hours with a gentleman that I found out he's been married 3 times. He's been involved in two churches. And now then he said he doesn't need the church. And he gave me this whole story. Friends, he kept pointing to people. And I kept pointing back to Dennis and saying, Dennis, we can't get our eyes on people. We need to have our eyes on Jesus. But how much better if people are reflecting the image of Christ to our world, to our world. We live, again, I would just remind you, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom. I just want to challenge you by walking in wisdom. Bethel Church won't be a Ben Ryan. And just walk on by opportunities to display the love and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this morning. May I? We bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this wonderful church, for the years of influence and impact that Bethel Church has had on this Rogue Valley. God, I just pray that every individual, that you would help each one here, including myself, Lord, to be alert to the day and times, but Lord, also to walk in such a way that we reflect you to our neighbors, our friends. God, people are hurting. They're broken. They need examples of what health looks like in life. So Lord, I just ask for this today for this congregation, for these friends. Bless them, use them. And Lord, just magnify their influence for your glory, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.